This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
The best local sports talk in the Flower City. One Bills Live and the Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia. Weekday afternoons on the Sports Leader, ESPN Rochester.
All right, back in the Sports Bar, Danger and Battaglia. Going to talk some Sabres here with Joe Yurden. Before we get to the Sabres, Joe, I mean, look, this has been an embarrassing week for the NHL. I mean, talk a little bit, share your thoughts on what went on here between the Caps and the Rangers and just all of the nonsense of the NHL and these decisions that they've been making.
Well, it's pretty astounding how one mistake can compound and explode into many other mistakes. As we've kind of gotten used to seeing out of the NHL in the past. But, I mean, all they had to do was to give Tom Wilson an even slightly lesser light punishment and sit him down for one game. Like, one game only, and you avoid the entire clown show that you had erupt at Madison Square Garden the other night. Instead, you know, you give a multi-time offender leeway to say, like, well, we didn't see it was so bad that he was punching Pavel Buchnevich in the head while he was down on the ice, threw Artemi Panarin down to the ice on his head without a helmet by pulling his hair and saying, you know what, $5,000, we'll call it even. That's fine. That alone is just astounding. And seeing the way things unfolded on Wednesday, I mean, I'm not surprised. Yeah. No part of that is a surprise for me. So that's, you know, but it just goes back to show that this is the way the GMs in the league want this to be. This is how they expect it to be okay. And the fact that it's the GMs who are allowed to have their voice factored in so hard in this is just baffling, because GMs get changed out like socks in the NHL, and, you know, it's a lot of the same voices that get to be heard constantly, and because they just change different jobs. So the fact that you're allowing them to say that, no, we like the league the way it is, we'd rather have it roughneck this way. I mean, I don't know. I don't know how you really say that that's okay.
Well, there is the perverse take there, Joe, that the league secretly likes this because more eyes were on the game, and we would never be talking about the New York Rangers indirectly, and all publicity is good publicity. Is any of that true here?
I mean, it sure seems to be that way. I mean, the NHL is very hyperactive about how they're perceived in public eyes, and the way that they believe. See, the hot take patrol is coming for me right now, but the way that they believe that this is okay is very strange, as far as I'm concerned, because they're so protective of their image, and they don't like when people take shots at them. They don't like to be criticized. They certainly don't like to be told how they should do things. Nobody does. But as a league, you have to be more open to other voices and how things are supposed to go. And the number of people that want to see the UFC on ice, I mean, that sounds like an interesting concept, but I don't know that it really works in the case of the NHL. I mean, bare knuckle boxing got outlawed back in what, 1920? 1918, something like that. So, but it's okay in the NHL. So it's very strange.
Joe, before we had you on, I was sitting here thinking to myself, and Gino and I were going back and forth. The drop for the Bills was long, and it was a lot of pain. I don't know that it was a lot of suffering, but there was, I mean, there was, it felt like every year with the Bills, at least you went into the season with some hope. And you might have been frustrated at the end of the season. The drought was longer, obviously, than what the Sabres are going through. But I would argue that the Sabres, what they're doing to their fans, if fandom is equal, 50-50, if you're a Bills or a Sabres fan and all things are equal, what the Sabres have done in finishing last again and now finishing last in four of the last 8 years, I mean, this is worse than the Bills' drought, isn't it?
It's 100% worse. I mean, during the Bills' drought, there were at least a couple of, 9-7 seasons or 8-8 seasons where, you know, the running joke was always just like, if they appeared in that In the Hunt graphic by, you know, week 16, week 17, you were just like, hey, all right, not a bad season. Hey, we're still kind of in sniffing distance here. Instead, the Sabres, the season's over by December, you know, January in some cases. And that, I mean, that to have your season over halfway through, you know, essentially over, is remarkable. And, you know, I know in the Sabres case this year, I mean, in the middle of that 18 game slide, you know, you're just like, wow, this can be this bad. This can be horrible. This can go worse. You know, every year when people are just like, well, geez, it can't be worse than the year before. And then they find a new and inventive way to be worse. And it's, I mean, that's remarkable on its own. I mean, that's a hell of an accomplishment as far as I'm concerned. But it's not the accomplishments you're looking for. You don't hang a banner for being last, you know, 4 out of 8 seasons. I mean, you look ahead to next year and people say, well, geez, it can't get worse than this. And I was like, I don't know, they could finish 32nd next year. So there's always a new depth to be plumbed.
Finish behind expansion Seattle. Oh, I can't wait for that. Joe Yurden, you can read his work with many different outlets. We'll tell you later where you can read up with Joe. Joe, as far as Granato, do the Sabres go through the whole process, interviewing coach after coach? Do they risk Granato kind of going on to the open market if a team is willing to sit? Correct me if I'm wrong. He would be available to talk to. Or do the Sabres actually do, in my opinion, the right thing and say, you know what, we're lifting the interim tag off you?
Well, this is a tough question because my fear here is that the Pegulas are going to do the easy thing again, and that's just to not interview anybody. And just say, nope, we got our guy. He's right here. Sign him, you know, sight unseen, just go for it. You know, they did this with Ron Ralston back in 2013, where, you know, he gave him a nice run at the end of a year where it seemed like, hey, this team's just kind of going through it. And they just decided, yep, nope, he's our guy. Let's give him a 3-year extension or, you know, 2-year extension, whatever it worked out to be. And then fired him a month into the season the following year. I think you have to do due diligence and you need to talk to other people. But my worry is that the Pegulas are going to be like, hey, we got our guy. He was already here. We're fine. The kind of how it happened with Kevin Adams. And, you know, that to me, I mean, that may be a slightly irrational worry. I know my pal Tim Graham kind of broached that subject in a recent column too, but it would be very on the nose, I think, for the Pegulas to do that, to just say, nope, he's our guy. We're good. Let's get it done and not really take a look around you because there are a lot of good candidates out there. You know, we've discussed them plenty of times here before after Ralph was fired. You know, the guys like Gerard Gallant, guys like Claude Julien, guys like Boudreau and, guys out of that mold, even guys who are AHL coaches elsewhere who seem to be destined to be NHL coaches like Chris Knobloch in Hartford. I think if you're taking a peek around, you need to at least talk to a bunch of people first and say, all right, you know, let Don know that you're going to, you know, like, listen, this is going to be a little bit of a process for us. Please be patient with us, but you know, you're here, you know, you're high on our list, but we got to know what else is out there. This is our job. This is what we have to do. I think Don would respect that. And hey, if another team wants to get Don Granato, good for Don, I say, but I need, you know, I think I need the team to be a little bit more thoughtful about the process instead of just saying like, nope, guys right here, we don't need to talk to anybody. We're good. Cause I think that's, I mean, it's no knock on Don, but I think that's a good way you end up spinning, continue to spin your wheel.
Well, I mean, it's common sense, right? I mean, like, you've got all these great guys out there. And Joe, I guess my question is, do we know, I mean, they're not going to tell us who they've talked to or if they've talked to anybody, but are there any reports out there that they've started to interview other candidates? Because I would say a perfect scenario would be you get a guy that is a proven winner to come in and you keep Don around on the bench and you mm-hmm. get the best of both worlds. Is that a possibility?
I would think that would be a possibility. I don't see why that wouldn't be. I mean, you could certainly, you know, I mean, if you're Don, you could certainly say, like, hey, listen, I kind of proved myself here, guys. Like, I should be the guy. And then maybe he goes off and gets a job being a head guy somewhere else in the league. I mean, that's certainly a possibility. But I think that's almost the bet you're willing to take if you're able to get a guy that you're higher on or you have somebody that you've talked to that is that very much could be a better fit for the team. But I mean, that's a whole part of this thing that is just such a different kind of territory. Cause I think when they went through this the last time, when they, you know, after they fired Lindy, you know, and Ron stepped in, they were just kind of in a position where it was just like, geez, we're really new at this whole thing. The only people we know are Darcy Regier and Lindy Ruff, and Darcy seems to love Ron. So like he makes that call. As it turned out, that was one of the first mistakes they made, was not firing Darcy and Lindy at the same time and letting one continue to go without the other. But I don't think you're in that spot necessarily right now, because this is as close to a fresh start as you can have with Adams in charge. I mean, Ralph wasn't his guy. And you know, even to that end, Don Granato wasn't his guy either. Like he didn't hire him to be the assistant. So I'm going to be very interested to see how this works out. And, you know, I mean, as everything that goes with this ownership, there's always a twist and a turn that you may not expect to see coming.
Joe Yurden, our guest here in the sports bar. Joe, Danger brought up the point earlier, you know, so tomorrow will be Hauser again. And we didn't think Allmark would be playing, although he was making strides coming back. And Danger's, like, light bulb went off, like, oh, that might be it. We might have seen Allmark his last game dressed in the blue and gold. What's the market going to be like for Linus Allmark? And with all he's gone through, could you see him, you know, giving the hometown discount or saying, you know what, thanks, guys, I think I'm moving on?
You know, the goalie free agent market this year or this summer is not very good. And I think Linus immediately becomes one of the more attractive options out there. Now, the question will be, you know, how well has he come back from the injuries this year? I mean, every year he's had some kind of injury that set him back, which, I mean, hey, listen, goaltending is a tough position. You know, guys that can stay healthy for an entire season, boy, there's a lot to be said for guys that have been able to do that in the past, that could pull that off. But I know with Linus, I think the injury is a groin injury, and for goalies, that's a real tough one. That's a real tough one to deal with, just because that's, you know, you can re-aggravate that at any time, and it could really hamper things going forward. But as far as, you know, who the guys that are going to be available, I think Linus is probably one of the three or four best guys that will hit the market. Yeah, I mean, that's if he does. I mean, he could just decide, like, hey, I love Buffalo, I'm going to stay here. You know, give me 3 years, we'll call it a day. But I think at this point, I don't know. I think there could be a lot of people who look at Linus and say, like, well, he hasn't really proven anything. He hasn't carried that team. And I'd be like, well, look what he's had in front of him, A, and B, look what he's been able to do apart from, you know, all the mess that's been around here the last couple of years. If I'm him, I would probably look to market just to see what's out there. But if you get a team that's, you know, in the same sort of pool with Buffalo, that's willing to throw you a lot of money. I mean, hey, a lot of money is a lot of money. Mm-hmm. But if you're looking to win, you might want to be more choosy about where to go.
Joe, if you're Kevin Adams and the season's winding down, you've got a laundry list of things that you've got to get to here this offseason. What do you think is number one on the list? We talked about the goaltending. We talked about the ability, you know, needing to hire a head coach and making that official. We haven't talked about Jack. I mean, is there something that you would put above everything else in terms of an offseason priority for Kevin Adams here as we get underway?
You know, provided everything is cool with Jack and that there's no, you know, pardon the terrible pun, but a rattling saber from him to get out of town, I think you don't have to worry about that. You can just move on and move on to other more pressing things. Goaltending has to be number one, and which I think forces Adams to have to re-sign Ullmark. But you need to get two goalies is the thing, because we don't know how Ukko-Pekka is gonna, you know, what his injury is necessarily. I think whether it's an ankle or whatever, but you have to be a little bit worried about him. But you need an NHL backup. You need somebody who's gonna be there for you. But after that, I mean, you got to figure out what you're doing on defense. You got to figure out what's happening with the Seattle draft, the expansion draft, because I think they've got some very interesting choices to be made here for who to protect. I think if I'm Kevin Adams, I kind of dare Seattle to take some of the bigger contract guys that you can, you know, maybe dare them to take Ristolainen so you can protect a guy like Will Borgen. Dare them to take Zemgus Girgensson because you want to protect Rasmus Asplund. Things like that where, you know, hey, if they want to take Zemgus, congrats. Or, hey, if you want to take Risto, okay, we're not getting anything in return, but, you know, hey, good luck. Things like that where I think you could have a little bit more of an adventurous time deciding who to pick. But I think you have to make sure you don't get skunked by Seattle and accidentally lose somebody that you figured they weren't going to be interested in, that you could be able to do it on the sly. But there's a lot. I mean, we thought Kevin Adams' summer last year was busy getting thrown into the mess. He's got a lot to handle this year because there's a lot to address with this group. And you still have to worry about forwards too. That's a lot. Yeah. It's a lot. I really feel for Kevin with just getting thrown right into this the way he has.
I want to learn more about Jack, and it's our tradition here in Western New York, Joe. It's locker clean out day. This is what we have to look. Other markets look forward to the postseason. In Buffalo, it's draft lottery and locker clean out day. And certainly it's going to play different this year with, you and everybody else not having the access down there. You'll be doing it in a Zoom world, but what are the chances? Is it slim to none or more that we'll actually hear from Jack? Because honestly, if he doesn't say anything, he doesn't have to. I understand that because he's hurt. But Joe, we've talked about this. I mean, say something, please. If you want to be here, let everybody know.
Yeah, I'm going to be really interested to see if he's available, because the injury thing certainly throws kind of a knot into that. That whole thing, but I think he will talk just to kind of get it out of the way. And you know what? He could either make it really exciting or make it really boring right away, depending on what's said. But I mean, there's a lot of questions that are going to get thrown his way. Never mind, trade stuff. I mean, there's a lot of questions concerning the injury, how it's been handled by the team. Remember he went to go get a second opinion on it. Back in what January was, February or March or whatever, I forget, man. It's been 5 months, but like, oh my god, it's been a year and a half. But there's a lot of stuff that can be answered there. I mean, certainly, Kevin Adams and them will be able to answer it a little bit clearer once everything is over with. But I mean, I would love to hear it more from Jack than from somebody in the front office, because if there's any kind of disagreement in how his injury was handled, then I want to hear from both sides on there, because that to me is more fascinating than anything.
Joe, we're looking forward to the draft lottery towards the end of July there, as we always do, it seems. The Sabres will be picking no worse than third. Is that correct?
Yeah, they rejiggered the lottery rules again. So this time they can't finish out of the top three, which... Hooray! Yeah. Cool. hopefully the guy that they want to get is Matt Beniers. I think that's how you pronounce his name. Again, I need to get a pronunciation guy, but hopefully that's the guy that they're aiming for, and not Owen Power. Nothing against Owen Power, but I think we've had enough defensemen taken up top, so that you need forwards, guys. Go get some scorers.
Joe, it is always great talking to you. Let's do this again during the postseason, and let everybody know whereabouts that they can read more of your work.
Oh, you can find me on That Hockey Show every week, every Thursday. We've got new episodes coming out there. You can find me occasionally for the Associated Press as well, for Die by the Blade. And various podcasts here and there to be heard as well.
Appreciate the time as always, Joe. Be well.
Hey, you got it, guys. Thanks so much.
Joe Yurden joining us in the Sports Bar, Danger and Battaglia. The Sabre season wraps up tomorrow in Pittsburgh. Mercifully.
It's right. I'm trying to think, what does the world look like on Monday? Joe just said, like, look, it's not a 0% chance Eichel talks. Like, if he makes it boring, yes, but
I don't know, man. I mean, look, I know he's injured. I know he doesn't. I know because of the injury, he's probably not obligated.
You're the captain.
That's it.
You are the captain. Act like a captain.
Right. Flip tweeting us earlier at ESPN Rochester. He's narcissistic. He's selfish. He's a bad locker room guy. He's a jerk to the training staff. Hashtag trade Jack Eichel.
Look, if Eichel was telling his representation, tell them I'm open to a trade, he's not talking to the media. Why would you put yourself through that? He can hide behind the injury. It's like hiding behind HIPAA.
Well, at least we'll have something of note for locker clean-out day early next week.
What is anybody going to say they lost their love of the game this year?
Oh, no.
Yeah.
God. NFL appetizers next in the sports bar. Some news and notes from around the National Football League, including Buffalo Bills GM Brandon Bean getting a little ringy ding from the NFL front office.
They got some breaking news here, too. The remember Kerryon Johnson got cut yesterday?
Yeah.
He got claimed.
Oh, okay.
Team in the NFC.
Very good. Apps next. Brought to you by Market View Liquor. Stock up for spring at Market View Liquor. Go to marketviewliquor.com. Use their safe, convenient curbside pickup. Use the Drizzly app for same-day delivery if you live within 5 miles of the store. The best selection and prices are at Market View Liquor, Jefferson Road in Henrietta.
Odyssey has sports for every fan. Keep up with your favorite teams from across the country and get the inside scoop from experts. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Odyssey.